company, and I love it cause the thrill's cheap. Said you left him for good this time, still if he knew I was here he'd wanna kill me. But it's time you met the real me. Filthy, but wasn't always will be. You pill me, feeling I'll still be. Your addiction, you can touch a prescription, but don't feel me. I let you see my dark side, but like a mic check, you got one too. So when the sparks fly, we hit the flight deck and got strung. Like an ejector seat from an F-15. But tonight, we don't need those pills. It's the effects of each other, but we gon' film. Cause I will want your ecstasy.
Hello, Red Raider fans. This is the Air Raid Podcast, brought to you by VivaTheMatadors.com. I am Ryan. I'm here with Drew and Jonathan. And we have a special guest host tonight, the one and only Mickey Peters. Say hi, fellas.
Hey there, y'all.
How you going?
What's up, everyone?
So it was the spring game that wasn't this past weekend. There's supposed to be a lot of weather. It turned out to be 80 degrees and sunny. They played a baseball game next door at Rip Griffin. But there was some fallout on Twitter, Drew, with some targets. Did I hear right that a couple people decided not to go, even like Jack Anderson decided not to go, and then a couple people, just targets, non-commits, decided to go the UT spring game. Is that correct?
Yeah, I know some of the guys that are in this coming up class, and then the ones even from the 2016 were going to be in attendance, but they weren't able to go since, you know, they have school on Fridays. But even some targets that were supposed to come up, I saw Darian Lee. He's a DB out of Woodrow Wilson here in the Dallas area. He ended up going down to Austin for the UT game, and there was a 2018 target we're going after, a Yoakum wide receiver. He has a brother, Josh Moore. He went to UT instead as well. So yeah, we unfortunately weren't able to host any targets or commits, and you know, they kind of got drawn elsewhere to other spring games, so that kind of, you know, that definitely doesn't help us.
Yeah, it seemed like they almost knew about it before the university released the information. I think it was Thursday night even when we first started seeing some of the guys talk about they weren't going to be able to get to Lubbock because of the weather.
Well, I mean, that makes sense. They're not going to drive 6-9 hours, depending on where they're coming from, through the weather to go to the spring game.
Right.
Even if it was, so that makes sense. But Mickey, what if do you think there's any fallout there? I mean, was the spring game big for y'all with hosting the next guys coming through?
Well, you know, nothing is as big as it was, as it is now anyway, with recruiting. It seems like to me that recruiting now is just blown out. See, it's blown big, you know, out of whack big time. Most of the time when we were in spring game is we already signed before we were spring game. We didn't have any of that. I didn't get start getting recruited until May of my junior year. Nobody really did this like they're doing now. With kids probably committing a lot earlier, yeah, maybe it does have a little effect to it. But you know, it is what it is. You can't really help what the weather is going to bring.
Yeah, which brings me to my next question, and Mickey, I love your input on this. Apparently a big thing nowadays, especially for smaller schools such as or distant schools, remote schools like Texas Tech, is that they hold satellite camps in other cities and other parts of the state, and they get recruits to come out and they run them through and they can offer them there. And now, for whatever reason, some of the Bama's and Ohio State's got a little upset, and the NCAA passed down a ruling that said they're nixing satellite camps, and only camps that can be done are on campus and at regular facilities. How much of an impact will that have on recruiting compared to trying to get, you know, if you're UT, getting guys in at, you know, in Austin, or even TCU and Baylor closer to the Metroplex?
I don't know if it makes all that big of a deal, because it's just one day to me. I think Colin Cowherd has said it best the other day. Most of these coaches already know who these kids are, especially with the social media and huddle, and we got all this stuff going out there. And you know, just one day of this kid making looking really good, I don't know if it makes a bit of a difference. I mean, we might all think it does, but when it comes down to it, it's what happens on Friday night.
It's a decent point. I know, Drew, we were looking at Cam Rohn out at the opening, and I thought he would get a ton of offers after the performance he put on, and he had decent numbers at his private school, and when he transferred to a public school, you know, the numbers went down a little bit, but it's a valid point, I guess, that really does make a difference.
Yeah, I think, you know, going into those camps, you know, they have an idea of the players that they're going to be targeting. So, I mean, like Mickey was saying, one day performance doesn't really matter, but I think those camps are good at building those relationships, because you have the coaches there, you're meeting them, you know, in person, face to face, I'm sure you're probably exchanging some numbers and what have you. So, you know, if they are interested, they can give you a shout later and offer you. And like last year, DeMarcus Fields, the defensive back in our 2016 class, he's from Taylor, Texas, which is down by, you know, Austin. It's probably at least an hour away from Austin. So, you know, a little small community out there. And
he I got married there. It's very small.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And so he performed really well at one of the camps, and the coaches offered him. So, I mean, that was one guy that we had in this past class that came directly from one of these camps. And you got to think about other schools. Like, I saw some tweets out on Twitter for, like, just imagine, like, Boise State. How are you going to lure kids to come to Idaho? Like, those are schools that are really going to hurt. I mean, we're in Lubbock, but I don't think it will hurt us too bad. But it is a chance to get out there into the different, Dallas, East Texas, Houston, and kind of build those relationships on the ground instead of having to do it over the phone.
Well, Jonathan, we also heard, like, it's difficult for even with the satellite camps to get recruits coming in. You hear the stories out of Iowa State, and Ames right now, is that it's so remote that they're having a hard time getting people in, even with those satellite camps, to come for official visits and whatnot.
Right. If you look at, I think it was Kansas last year, they didn't even have the max number of scholarship athletes on their team. And I know Kansas is going to be an extreme example in football, but it's going to be harder for them to recruit. I know they draw a lot on the DFW, and then down into Oklahoma, they try and get some kids. So that's going to be hard. I think the big thing with the satellite camps is getting to know the kids in their own backyard. I think they'll be a little bit more comfortable with coming to, because I think Cliff did a thing in Euless near me every year over at Euless Trinity High School. And he's talking to the kids in their own field. They're probably going to be a lot more comfortable with them there than traveling up to Lubbock. And I think that it only costs the players like $50 to register for one of these camps, as opposed to having to travel all the way to Lubbock.
And how much is it for the like the opening? Do they have to register?
I'm not
Is it invite
sure.
only, or do they have to put up a registration fee to pay the coaches and the facility?
I know that they have to register, send in their huddle tapes and what have you, but I'm not sure if there is a fee. I know it is invite only, but I'm not sure if there's a fee associated with that.
I didn't know. I don't know how much you follow that, Mickey. You probably aren't able to follow it as closely as some other people, but I didn't know if it was like, hey, I'd be honored if you were my best man, here's where you can go buy your tux type of thing.
Right. I don't know too much about how they go about that. I was kind of wondering if, like, it was news to me that it was just, it's an invite only thing. And going back to
tell us about your recruiting experience.
You know, I went to camps all the time. I went to Oklahoma camp. I went to Texas Tech camp. The only reason I went to Oklahoma camp was Dick Winder was the offensive coordinator then, who was before he was at Tech before Oklahoma. Then he came back to Tech and ended up recruiting me. And he was one of the best quarterback coaches all around. I got offered, me and Shad Williams got offered at Texas Tech camp. And it is an opportunity for those coaches to see you, and you get to know them. I got offered at a one day, I mean, it was a 3-day camp, but I went for one day at TCU. I mean, yes, I do understand, like, being able to look at the kid and you know, just on a rim, throwing a, you know, running a 40 and see what he really looks like, you know, in person. Mm-hmm. I got offered to go to Notre Dame to a camp, and they said that they didn't offer any of their quarterbacks unless they went to their camp, you know. And so I totally understand about that aspect of it. I'm just thinking, you know, can we just go back to like the way it was? But does it hurt Texas Tech? It might. It might hurt Tech. But it, as long as everybody's on a level playing field, you know, I just don't really see a downfall. I mean, a huge downfall. Especially, you know, I hear a lot of it, you know, the people are like, well, you know, these kids get to go to these camps that nobody knows who you are, and then they get to go to these camps and this and that. Well, then if it's invite only, then that doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. I'm not really sure how the opening works. I know there's a ton of people there, and some of the people look like they didn't belong there. So I'm not sure if it's, you can just register beforehand and pay and you get to go to the opening. And then after that, it's invite only to the regional or the national level or the finals or anything like that. But
well, see, I think it's great. I really did think it was great for Tech to come and, you know, go to these different, you know, Dallas, Fort Worth, you know, Houston, San Antonio, to get to go to these camps or do these camps out there. And, you know, on this, these kids' home turf, I think that was a great deal. But I just don't see it being the big stink of how, oh, no, it's just killing the kids. It's hurting the kids more than anything. I mean, we do have social media. We have Huddle now. I mean, it's night and day from what it was when I was a kid.
I mean, that's true. I'm just a few years younger than you. I think we talked about this. You were a senior my freshman year. Right. And I grew up an Oklahoma fan because that was my first college experience when my dad was at the Tinker Air Force Base in Midwest City. And coming down to Texas, going to an in-state school, we hated the Aggies and we hated the Longhorns. But even back then, you know, even the internet wasn't huge. My freshman computer going to Tech was $1,000 and it had a 37 gig hard drive. I mean, it's night and day from what it used to be. But I didn't know a lot about Tech, and it wasn't really on my radar. It was just, you know, I guess a lot of kids may not even be exposed to it, especially depending on where you are. And if you don't have a good football coach who isn't, you know, putting out feelers for you or anything like that. So I don't know. But all good stuff. We're going to see how that plays out. We'll probably know in a couple of years if the Biggins, the Alabamas and the Texases and everything like that get back to pulling all the recruits. We'll see how it goes.
It didn't only start till when Cliff, you know, came to Tech, or actually, I guess a year before when Tuberville was here, you know, and all in the 2000s. It's only been doing this for like the last 4 or 5 years, really.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, you're getting to the point now, especially even with me coaching baseball, you're starting to see that exploitation. You're starting to see that this is, you know, whoever's has dollar signs in their eyes is sitting there going, well, if we can tap into this and get them to come to our showcase. And, you know, I'll get emails right now. I can probably pull one up that's like, hey, we're having a showcase in Waco. 100 college coaches will be there, guaranteed. You know, pay your $150 fee and come out.
Yeah, and that's what, and to me, that's dumb. I mean,
it is dumb. It's insanely 100, dumb.
There's 100 or 200, or a lot of kids that are going to that, and I'm going.
Yeah, and
to me, it just makes no sense. Like, and we're going to these combines, we're doing this, we're going that. I ran this at this combine. Yeah. Hey, you know,
exactly.
It's going overboard. I mean.
Yeah, I think the only way you'd get a if you're not known by the time you go to that camp, odds are you're not going to get known at that camp. I think the only way you could walk in there and get a scholarship if you ran like a 4.140 or something like that. I mean, other than that, I don't think.
And if you run in a 4.140, you've already run probably won a state track meet.
Yeah.
You know, that week before or whatever.
And I don't think it's so much as the kids going, you know, pushing for these camps as it is parents. Parents, man.
Oh, yeah. It's the parents.
Especially in baseball, they have no idea about what actually goes on, and I keep trying to remind them you don't need to go to the showcase, because the only reason why you're paying $150 is because they have to pay the coaches to be there, so they're maybe not even really interested in looking at your kid. It's at the end of the season, so you could get hurt more. And then I'll just say, you know what, if you're good enough, if you put up the numbers on Tuesday and Friday, if you're good enough, they will find you.
Exactly.
I mean, that's why, like, you look at even the NFL NFL draft. You'll sit there and you'll be watching the second round, and they'll be like, "Oh, Joe Flacco out of Delaware, Division II or whatever," and you're just like, "Who?
Right?
How does he go over Graham Harrell?"
That happens all the time.
Yeah. So I mean, if you're good enough, and you have the measurables, and you're putting up everything, you know, they'll find you. And I think that's what we got to take away from that. So we have some special guests lined up. I say guests because we're still waiting on confirmation from one. But we will go ahead and take a break, and we will introduce you to our first special guest right after this.
Texas Tech University, consistently named a military-friendly school by GI Jobs magazine. Nearly 400 veteran faculty and staff from every branch of the military. More than 1,000 veteran students. It's time we take the next step to stand behind our veterans. I'm Walter Huffman, retired U.S. Army Major General and current Dean Emeritus and Professor at the Texas Tech School of Law. Texas Tech University has pledged our support to the Got Your Six campaign. In the military, Got Your Six means I've got your back. Texas Tech University, we got your six.
I am forgiven. Every ounce of my blood, with every breath in my lungs, won't stop until I'm free, not alone. I am forgiven. However long it takes, I'll go to whatever lengths, it's gonna make me a monster, though.
This is the Air Raid Podcast, brought to you by BeaverTheMatadors.com. Drew, Jonathan, and guest host Mickey Peters is still with us. And our special guest for tonight is the one and only Houston Miller. How's it going, bud?
What's up, guys? It's going great. How are you?
Good. Good. It's a stormy night in Dallas.
Yes, sir. But, I mean, didn't stop me from working today. So, always got to get out there and put in the work.
Always.
So, yes, sir. Yeah. Rain or shine, I mean, it doesn't matter.
So this is going to lead me into my first question, and there's going to be a round table. You're probably going to get questions from a bunch of people.
Perfect.
Hopefully. Awesome. Hopefully, Drew and Jonathan.
For sure.
And it sounds like you've already answered it, but my major thing was, okay, you've seen spring practice go by.
Mm-hmm.
You've had the ecstasy of signing your letter of intent to go to Tech.
Mm-hmm.
And do you still have the same mindset of walking out on campus in August and just dominating right away? Or is that kind of faded to, I just hope I find a role and do the best I can to help the team type of thing?
I think the feeling's grown, because now, like, doing the workouts they sent me, doing my own thing, and the eagerness that I have to get out there, I just want to play ball and show everyone up. Like, really, that's it. Like, I mean, I just want to get it out there and say, this is what I came here to do, and I'm doing it better than I planned. Because nothing's going to get in my way of getting on campus and letting people know who I am and letting other teams know who I am and making sure the coaches know that I'm ready to ball and I'm ready to get after anyone they put in front of me. In any game that comes up this season, that team's going to get worn out. And I know it's going to be by all of us, but I'm going to prove my own on that game too. So I'm excited. Like, the feeling's amped up even more.
Do you feel at all that you're maybe a little bit behind, knowing that these guys have gone, especially redshirts, have gone through Coach Witt's conditioning program, and you haven't really been there on campus?
Not necessarily. I've been doing a lot on my own. Like, I have the manual that they sent us with all the workouts in it and all the conditioning. And the it's great. It's fantastic. I love it. It has all sorts of conditioning and lifts and everything like that. And I've been putting on weight too, which is a good thing, but I've been staying in condition. But I also have like my own trainer who's, he was an Olympic sprinter and bobsledder, and he played receiver in the NFL. His name's Kyle Meadows. He's been working with me. I've worked with him for the past 2 years, and he's been working with me on my speed always and all my conditioning recently too. I mean, and he'll try and wear me out, and I hate it. The other day it was like, all right, Houston, get on the line. We're running 16 100s, and you got 30 seconds rest in between each one. I said, come on, man, really? I said, that's not fun. Can we do something fun today? I said, let's do something fun. But he's been on my case making sure I'm staying conditioned. So
okay, so
get out there.
So my last question before I turn it over to the rest of the guys. One of the big things that I took away from our last conversation at National Signing Day was that you wanted to put on weight and not lose a step and if possible even get faster. How much weight have you put on in the last couple months, and are you still as fast?
Well, around signing day, I would say I was like 235, 240, hovering in that area. Right now I'm hovering between 245 and 250, and I think I've gotten faster, so that's the good thing. I've been getting out there. It's just a matter of wanting to put in the work and having fun putting in the work. So I've been getting out there. I put the weight on just because from eating and the workouts and just eating a lot more than I usually do, but constantly just staying on the track and staying loose and limber and being able to run, get out there and do that. It's, I don't think I've lost a step at all.
Awesome.
So a win-win situation right there.
Yes, sir. Definitely.
I know you weren't able to go up this past weekend since the spring game got canceled. As a recruiting tool, how do you feel like that kind of has an impact on recruiting? You know, since you just wrapped up your recruiting cycle, how much of an impact does that spring game have when it comes to recruiting?
For like younger guys, like
class like the 2017, 2018 guys that are going to be there who didn't get to come. How do you think that might impact the way they, their outlook on Tech?
Honestly, I mean, it was a little bit superstitious at the beginning because it's just, I mean, weather out in Lubbock can be pretty crazy, and driving through that stuff, we don't want any families or any athletes going out there and having something happen to their cars or happen to them, God forbid. So I understand why they pulled the plug on the spring game, but from what I see, that the players that we have that are committed for the 2017 right now, I don't think they're going anywhere. We got a real solid class below us with Jack and Dawson, Xavier and all them. Like, they're solid, so I don't see them going anywhere. And then, I mean, for other recruits, it's just a matter of, I mean, if they look at it, it was one game out of more games they can come and visit during the season, and then they can make visits over the summer, and they can do different things like that. So, yeah, it's the big deal because a lot of people didn't get to go as planned, but I don't think it really impacted anyone that's serious and wants to come play for Tech, because you have to have a different mindset to want to come play for Tech. You got to understand that it's a whole new game with the coaching staff we brought in, with the new strength and conditioning people. It's a whole different game, and if you want to be good, this is where you're going to want to come. So if you don't understand that, then by taking opinion off of a spring game getting canceled, then Tech's not the program for you. You got to be willing to understand that and say, okay, this is still one of the best programs in the country, and they're making it the best program in the country.
Nice. And now I know you mentioned new coaching staff and what have you. I know today Coach Patrick, he tweeted out, don't let your talent take you where your character can't keep you. And I saw you happen to retweet that as well. What do you think he means by that?
He's throwing shade.
Yeah. Just a little bit. He's messing with our minds. But I mean, probably thinking like, don't let yourself get too high on your head and think you're too great. So don't let your talent take you to where your character won't let you. If you're a humble person, and you may understand you're a good athlete, but understand there are always people working to become better than you. So don't let the talent you have now make you think you're better than what you are, because you can always put in more work. You can always do one more rep or one extra sprint or something like that. So don't get too comfy where you are, because you can always be better than what you are. So don't let your character take away from the talent, you know, and vice versa.
No, yeah, exactly. And wrapping up things on my end here. So when officially do you get to move into Lubbock, and are you counting down the days yet?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we officially get to move in June 5th. Orientation for the athletes is June 6th, and we start class June 7th. So it's going to be a busy weekend. I graduate May 28th, so I get 4 days, then I'm pretty much out there. I think we might be leaving June 4th to be there just to have that night so we can bring all our stuff down. But I'm so excited. I've been counting. I was like, oh, gosh, when can I get there? I've been figuring out ways to just, like, get my mom to take me places so I can get more stuff that I don't need, because I just want more tech stuff and more stuff to put in my room.
Has tech been sending you anything?
What do you mean?
Like, any gear?
I don't think they can do that yet. They can't do that? I don't know. Okay. I don't think they can, like, I think they just have to wait till we're there so they can give it to us. But, I mean, if they did, that would be awesome, because I would love more stuff. But
hey, one second. What's up? This is Mickey Peters. I played with Cliff and from 1993.
Yeah, he was with Wes and Leach and Trey Haverty.
Speaking of the gear, you might want to send some stuff my way, because they didn't give us anything back.
I'll hook you up, dude. I got you, brother. I got you. Don't worry.
I think I went to one practice and Cliff was like, hey, come in here. I was like, thank God. And then they give Zane a lot of heck for me. That's my boy. Equipment manager, Zane.
Oh, yeah, the equipment manager, Zane. I think Zane needs to send us all some stuff.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I mean,
I'll get on Zane. I'll be like, God, dude, you're screwing every past athlete over. What was going on then?
It's funny because it rubs it in Mickey's face. Like, you know, Cody Davis is retweeting, hey, look at this care package I've gotten from Tech Equipment.
Yes!
And it's like filled with stuff, and Dola's got stuff.
Marquez got a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
this past.
Come on. Mickey's over there going,
one of the starters of the air raid. You know, so, I mean, and you'd think they'd give me some stuff.
And Mickey put up numbers just as good, if not better in some cases, than Jason Morrow, who's getting care packages. So come on,
man.
throw Mickey something.
I'll hop all over everyone in Lubbock. I'll make sure we get some good stuff.
Something.
We got to take care of our pets.
It's because the current guys can't get on the video game anymore.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
They got to give them something.
Hey, right. I did get a $242 check for that.
Did you?
Really?
Man.
I'm not the type to do that.
Let's hit up Torchy's.
See if they will really send it.
Let's hit up Torchy's, man.
It came. Yeah, we can go get some tacos or something.
Honestly, I'm so down for some tacos. I'm driving to Lubbock.
Houston.
What's up?
No lie. I know it's when you graduate or whenever. If you want something to eat and you're in Dallas, I'll hook you up.
Honestly,
we'll get some Torchy's tacos.
The only thing is, I'm going to feel bad for your bank account if we go to Torchy's, because I've spent $50 on my own there.
Hey, Mickey's got you covered. He's got $242 with your name on it, man.
He's got NCAA money.
By the time you get out, I'll have some interest on that too.
Honestly, exactly.
I've got one question, Houston.
What's up?
Do you have a girlfriend?
Yes, I do.
Do you realize you're going to Texas Tech after this year?
Yes, I do.
All right. I just want to let you know.
This is some.
Hey, I got this same question from one of my coaches when I went to Tech. And it was the same thing. Yeah, I do have a girlfriend. And then I went to Tech.
I think the Godfather's trying to drop some advice. He's just trying to just throw it out there a little bit.
I'm just kidding. She's probably a great girl. I'm not.
We just took a quote from Coach Patrick saying, "Don't let your talent take you somewhere your character can't get." So
it's okay to get off track a little bit.
There's a couple schools out there that have given us all pause for what's going on in the football field.
Honestly.
I'm not going to mention anybody because I don't want to get in trouble. But we all know who it is.
Exactly.
Hey there, Houston. This is Jonathan.
What's up?
Speaking of the video game, what should your rating be in that video game? And you're not allowed to say 99.
Okay, yeah.
I wasn't going to say 99 because I know I'm not a 99 yet. But key word, yes.
I'm 88.
So, 88. Honestly, why not? I mean, 88's a solid number, but God, I don't know how they average it. I mean, we can throw the speed in there at 99 because, I mean, like, I just get fast. Strength is on automatic 99.
I'm not going to lie, Houston. I think I have you at 76.
I mean, that's respectable. I mean, I'm coming in as a freshman.
As a freshman, yeah.
I completely respect that. I could see myself at a strong 82.
Okay, all right.
I think I could see myself at an 82 in about a month.
So, is it the awareness that needs to be higher, or is it like stacked physical attributes and your awareness is like 40 bringing you down, or is it your awareness that's higher than everything else that brings you up?
Oh man! Oh gosh!
Deep on
just go with the,
you
just
are
go with
you're
awareness.
Just
and
go.
What's,
you're
what's
the
your
hard
kick
questions.
Power at?
Yeah.
my kick power is definitely. My return ability is godly, okay? Don't you dare put that on the table. I was in 7th grade and 8th grade. I was our kick returner. I scored 7 times, thank you.
No one can tackle you.
I will still always remember that. I will always remember that because I was like too big to be a kick returner, but I was doing it. I don't care.
You were running over people Coach Gibbs' size, okay? They can't tackle you.
I know, it's kind of unfair.
We'll go back to a little bit of a serious question. I know it's not going to affect you at all, but what kind of talk have you heard, maybe among your fellow classmates, about the satellite camp ruling?
I mean, I can see like sort of how they came up to the conclusion with it, but it kind of did hurt a lot of kids' chances that don't necessarily are able to get to certain places to go to camp. So that's why they had the satellite camp in place. But it's just a matter of – I've always thought if you are a college, you can be somewhere and have the camp. But it's kind of – it's a little bit more out the gates to have the ability to do that, you know. It's just more – I'm more of a traditional kind of person. I mean, if you're having a camp – You have a camp here, here, and here, and people that want to be there will be there. But, and then, I mean, I've always just seen it that way instead of being able to see everything like that, you know? So I can understand how it can hurt a lot of people. But again, the thing is, if you're serious about places and getting looked at, you'll make it to those places. So it all depends.
Yeah.
That's how I used to go when I was back in the day, I guess, since you're a pup.
It's not back in the day. You're still young, Mickey. It wasn't that long ago. I know the millennials will make you think it was forever ago.
Yeah, you were on a video ago. Game.
But no, like that's how it was back, you know, in the 90s and in 2000s when we first didn't have all these satellite camps and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you know, if you wanted to go to that school and go to that camp, and I went usually just to get better. It wasn't, you know, all about – you know, somebody seeing me. You know, I figured if
and you kind
I
of
did my deal and during the year there's somebody they're gonna know who I am by that.
Mm-hmm.
From what you were talking about, you followed coaches, Mickey, didn't you? Like you
yes,
knew a coach
yes.
was gonna be there and you wanted to go work with that coach for a little mm-hmm. bit.
Right. And you know, like Dick Winder, he was God rest his soul, but he was one of the best quarterback camps at the time you know, around, and so that's where I went. I went to those days. And mm-hmm. going in my senior year, then I did go to different camps
mm-hmm.
because we didn't get recruited early on like y'all do.
We got kids that are freshmen and eighth graders getting offers nowadays.
Oh.
Right. And it's, I think it's gone way overboard, but you know, that's mm-hmm. just my opinion on it.
Quick segue. Does anybody remember the 11-year-old or 12-year-old that USC offered a scholarship to, quarterback, like several years ago?
Yeah.
What did end up happening with him?
Oh, God.
No, probably fat and lazy now.
He's probably an offensive lineman. Move from quarterback to O-line.
No, that was like the first year of Lance
Kiffin.
The
only time that somebody might get that is if they have like – you know, a good pedigree. You know, you got LeBron's kid, you know.
Yeah.
You got LeBron or Kobe's Bryant's kid out there just killing it.
Yeah.
And yeah, okay. But, you know, just
– it's the name.
It's well, the name. You know, it is a true deal, a pedigree, you know. Like, the NFL comes back to it all the time. You know, if you got family members that play in the NFL, then you're more likely to get in there. Just it is.
Yeah, like, that's true. So the system's a little bit biased, in my opinion. But because, I mean, you'll see places – I mean, like, if a kid's not necessarily that great at football – but he wants to play, and his dad is, like, a big name or something like that, and he has money, they'll figure out a way to get him on the team because that dad's going to be a booster in years.
Oh, yes.
In my opinion.
And until junior year when he's relegated to third team tight end.
Exactly.
And locked in a closet.
And helicopter dad booster comes.
Exactly.
Man, there's some stuff flying around in here. Anyway. Houston, got a question for you. I'm not sure how closely you followed the structured practice spring scrimmage, both in Midland and on Friday the 15th. But they had some people playing in different positions on defense. I took it as they were just waiting for, you know, some of you younger guys to actually get on campus. But they had Gary Moore playing middle linebacker a couple days ago. They had, you know, Zach Barnes off the edge, and I just was wondering if you heard any tweets about it or anything, or if anything about your intended role had changed based on their performance throughout spring camp.
Not necessarily, or
in a very friendly way, are you worried about anybody in your position?
No, it's just more that, I mean, what I've always learned and from what we've done in high school and different stuff like that, from moving people to different positions. I mean, whenever we had certain days, there'd be certain days, like in spring of my junior year and my sophomore year, I'd be playing middle linebacker, then I'd go to outside linebacker, then I'd go to nose, then I'd go to D end, not even go play fullback or tight end. It's just a matter of having a versatile defense to where multiple guys can understand the position that they're in. So say I, God forbid, or something like this happens, I go down, and one of the linebackers needs to go in, he can play D end, or one of the linebackers that's a middle is cramping up real bad, and he's going to be out for a couple plays. I can hop back into middle linebacker, call the defense, and know what I'm doing, and have another guy come in because we rotate on the D line quite often. So
it's just getting them some experience in different positions. Yeah. You're saying,
yeah,
okay,
just everyone understand that. You're not just set to one position. You're a football player and you're an athlete. You should understand how to play all the positions around you.
And
hey, Houston.
If I could tell you just one thing, you know, when you go in there, first thing, be humble, but you also got to be hungry. Just remember
that.
Yes,
sir.
Just remember that.
That's my view. It's just a matter of I know I'm not necessarily the tallest or the strongest or the fastest guy on the field, but it's just a matter of I'll be damned if I don't wear you out by the end of the play. And if I let you outwork me or outdo me in any possible way, I am going to be mad at myself, and I'm not going to let it happen. I'm not going to let that slide. I'm going to hop all over anyone that's put in my way, and I don't care if they're the number one tackle, number one guard, number one whatever in the nation. I'm going to wear you out because I don't want to not – live up to how I talk about myself and the ability that I have. Why do something 50%? Why do it at all? Do everything at 100% and just continuously work.
There you go.
I'm coming to cash these checks that your ego's writing, buddy. Honestly, you better perform, man. I'm coming.
I'm ready.
Another thing, too, is don't ever get down on yourself. There were several times in my early career, you know, Coach Leach would come up to me and just basically say, Mick, I mean, you do great for like 3 or 4 plays, and then you make one bad play, and then you get down on yourself. Who cares? Mm-hmm. Play the next play. Who gives?
Yeah.
He says, F it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, honestly, there's some colorful metaphors throughout there.
It works throughout life, too, you know. Like, you can't just, you know, this is a tough time, you know, for me and my family right now because it's oil and gas season. Our oil gas is down. So, you know, we just look at ourselves now and say, you know, F it. We got to find our way to get it done and really worry about it. And it goes through football. It'll go through life, too.
Because that's my biggest thing. I mean, like, I completely understand that. I've always thought that. It's just like, if you're in the middle of a game and say you do great on two plays in a row, and then you mess up your assignment or you just do something wrong or get pancaked. I don't know. God forbid you get pancaked. But you do something wrong. Why get down on yourself? Just understand, dude, there's another 30 minutes left in the game, and you get to go against the same guy and get to try and wear him out constantly. So why would one play that's already happened that you can't possibly change affect what you're going to do the next play? Just go wear him out. Just go have fun with it. Don't beat yourself up about something you can't change anymore because it's already happened.
And, you know, and that even goes in practice. I mean, you won't even understand how much difference it is from high school to college of the practice and how much faster it is just to jump into the next level. And you're going to get discouraged. You're going to get discouraged. It is what it is. But just remember, forget it and play the next play. And that's that's the best thing that anybody has ever told me as a player and as a person, really.
I got you, man. I feel you. I completely understand that. It's just, I'm probably – people, they'll just beat themselves up. It's just a matter of always staying positive and not letting it get to you because you can't change anything after it's happened.
During the game, you don't really pay attention. You know, you just play. And it's
awesome. You just do it.
It's a fun – it's no more – there's nothing more fun than college football and that band strikes up and running out on the field and whatnot. And then, you know, those bad plays go away really quick. But in practice, those bad plays linger on with you because you're tired.
Yeah.
You don't want to be there since you had a bad day or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Your girlfriend broke up with you, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Just remember.
It's cool because you're a tech.
Ever. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
But that's my two cents.
I feel you, man. I appreciate that. You're giving me chills for a minute. I was like, oh, gosh, the band's going. You're running out. I said, I'm ready. Yeah. I was getting worked up.
It's going to be epic.
Oh, it's going to be so fun.
Hey, Houston.
What's up?
This is Jonathan again. Is there any one of the coaches you're looking forward to working with more than maybe some of the others? Like, are you looking forward to working with Coach Witt on the strength or looking forward to working with Coach Patrick on the D-line?
What's up?
Or are you looking forward to playing a little goal line tight end for Cliff?
Honestly,
since you're wearing 88,
that's
going to
be
slip
I know,
over.
Right? Exactly. Like, JJ Watt did it. I mean, why can't I do it?
Oh, did you hear that? Mickey says you need to change your number to 86.
That's the best number out there.
I don't know if I can do that. Dude, 88 is literally in every email and every username and everything for me. So I can't change my number now. And it may change in the NFL.
Yeah,
I get there. But
he's already got it trademarked.
I know, right? Exactly. I have it on my cleats and everything, okay? I can't lose it. But, no, I mean, I'm excited to work with everyone, but I'm really excited just to get in the weight room with Coach Witt. That's going to be a whole new story. Seeing him, it's awesome that he does literally every single thing we do. And if we can't do it, you just got to understand, you just got beat out by Coach Witt. Like, he's wearing you out, and he's been through more than you could ever imagine.
What did he just tweet out yesterday? Like, he was doing a 500-pound deadlift, and they were like, I'm getting
old. Yeah, he did 510. I was like, oh, my gosh. And then his mentor, who's 61, did 526. I said, that should not be legal. There should be, like, a rule against that. I'm like, geez.
You know, during that 22 kill – video when and Cliff's is in great shape and I know he works out every morning, but you know, when they were like, okay, Coach Witt's yelling out, you know, y'all are gonna go on me, don't get anxious, you're gonna go on my pace, you're gonna, you know, when I call it out, and you know, Coach is just sitting there going, man, do I have to do this? I'm gonna lose some of my
aura. You know who else
here
was thinking
because,
that? You know,
or just
Pat,
say, hey,
you
nobody
Pat was thinking that.
Yeah, just nobody keep the camera on me right now. Just
exactly. Just,
Don't even say it.
I was watching the video. I was like, Pat does not want to be doing this right now.
He had some awful push-ups. I'm not going to lie.
He was offbeat, off-tempo, everything. He was like, God, let's just get these push-ups over with and do practice. I was like, come on, Pat.
Man.
But it was, I was like, geez. But no, that was insane. It's all over Twitter. Like, every Twitter account that has something to do with football has been tweeting about it. Like, this is so awesome. I said, hey, greatest school in the country right here. So, I mean, I love it. I think it's awesome. So,
it's definitely home.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait for it. I can't wait to call it home.
How often do you keep in contact? Are you talking with your recruiting class and your future teammates? Are you talking to them on a daily basis, or how often do you interact with those guys?
Pretty much like every day. We have a giant like group message through like text and on Twitter. So I mean, pretty much every day we're all talking to each other about something, or we're talking like we were blown up the other night about Kobe, and then just like this weekend we were all talking about how like the last spring practice was and what's been going on. We were all just talking about school and how it's going to be when we get up there. We got a text from Coach Reed saying make sure we have all our stuff, figure out who we want to be rooming with and everything like that. So, I mean, we talk pretty often. I mean, one of my friends is the long snapper at our school. He's going to long snap there. I mean, I don't know if we're going to room, but it's just a matter of, like, we're all keeping in touch and seeing how everyone's doing, jaw-jacking and talking crap to each other, too, which is pretty fun. Cause me and Travis, Bruffy, we have a little thing going back and forth. He always wants to try and talk trash to me. I'm like, Travis, don't.
Buffy?
It's like, stop it, yeah.
Oh, man.
But me and him are tight. So, I mean, it's real fun just being able to have that relationship already. And when getting there, it's going to be a lot more fun, and we'll be able to actually talk trash to each other.
Have you and Jack started any trash talk yet? That'll be something I would look forward to watching.
That's the only thing. Me and Jack are tight.
I have a prediction that's off the record. With that, we're back, everybody, because that's all going to be edited. So
yes,
it's going to be
very much so
awesome.
But me and him are tied though. We're real close, so that's a good thing. He's I was making sure. I said, dude, you got to make sure to keep that 2017 class together, and he's doing it, and he's got it under control. So that's going to be good, and that class is going to be a great addition. We're gonna do some big things. So
well, you know whose class looks really scary.
What's up?
Oklahoma's look scary.
Really?
They've been getting everybody.
Are you screwing with me, or are you?
No, they you know, Rager, Jalen decommitted and went there, and
that kid's flaky. I bet you he won't go there. He's gonna decommit.
We saw Robinson at the opening, but you'll be sacking him. But he did look.
He, but good. I will say he's better than Baker, but that's not.
No, hard. You know that's, who else I
Nah, just don't bring that guy's name up.
BM, bowel movement.
Yeah, I get on Snapchat. Mm-hmm. I'm on Snapchat.
Dude, how do you know what Snapchat is? I don't even know what Snapchat is. And you're older than awesome. I am.
The Summit. Summit's always hitting pictures up of with him and that guy.
You know who I cannot stand? That I cannot wait
is this
to sack
on
in the
record?
Future.
Let me know.
I don't care. You can put it anywhere you want. Oh. I mean, I'm ready.
Right there. We need more Texas Tech guys like this guy right here.
Here we go. Yeah,
honestly.
Here we go. This freaking kid.
That reminds me of my God. Days. We ain't scared of nobody.
Let it fly.
I hate
man.
A&M, and I cannot wait for this kid, freaking Tate Martell, who thinks he's the greatest thing on the planet. I'll say, all right, buddy. Get ready, because I'll be in that backfield all night long, and I can guarantee that because I hate that kid. And I hate his attitude.
He's so
it's just
who's this kid?
Oh my gosh! No, literally, we were on Twitter, and he was thinking he was trying to talk trash to someone.
It was Robinson from Oklahoma.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then they were like, he's like, who are you? And he said, the 2017 Oklahoma commit or whatever. And he goes, who are you? And he said, that's the one I don't need to answer. I said, dude, you don't make, I said, who are you? And he didn't respond. I wanted to tweet back at him. I was just like, yeah, you may not know who I am, but I'll make sure you know when 2 years when you're laying on your back. I'm pulling the Muhammad Ali knockout punch right above you in the picture.
Hey, we talked about that.
He's the number one QB from Vegas.
A different quarterback, though. You must be doing it to a lot of quarterbacks.
No, I just hate everyone. I hate anyone that plays quarterback, except for my own quarterback, but I hate everyone.
Do not hit blue, okay?
I will not hit blue.
Do not hit blue in practice.
I like Jet and I like Pat. But
luckily, Jet put on some more muscle. If you would have hit him at the old Jet, he might break him in half.
I know. I looked at that picture.
He put on like 20 or 25 pounds already.
Yeah, he's gotten.
Why was Jet skinny like that? That was funny. I was like, boy, I said, eat some food, get a cheeseburger. But no, I mean, put that all over the record. Put that wherever you want. I want people to know that I'm going to wear out any quarterback in this league.
Well, since you've mentioned it, go down your list. Go down your kid list.
Dude, he's fine.
Okay. First of all, Baker. I want Baker down. I want Kyler Murray. I hate Kyler. We already went over Tate.
After you hit BM out of the game, you're going to go after Kyler.
Yes, very much so.
Okay.
They will run out. They will be like TCU this year, just running out of quarterbacks.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
Oh, TCU and
Baylor. I'm going
Baylor.
To that game. Mickey, you're coming?
I'll be there.
I'm going to the OU game. Bringing my family, bringing the young ones.
Yeah, no quarterback will be standing after that game.
I don't go
to
other people's places.
On the reel.
Awesome. Are we back on the record yet?
I think so. I hope we are. Because we need to get back on the record before I say something else.
I mean, dude, it's your record. I mean, you go ahead. And guys, this is an opportune time because this will probably be the last time we
can actually talk to you.
Yeah, talk to him before Tech puts the blacklist on him.
Honestly, put any question out there and I'll answer it right now. And I'll tell you if it should be allowed to be on the record, but most of it should. Because I don't care anymore.
See, Drew and John, this is why you do your homework. Right here. Any question?
Houston, do you like tacos or hamburgers better?
I like both. I can't decide there. I'll eat everything.
So this year you have Baylor in Arlington.
Mm-hmm.
You go to Stillwater.
Mm-hmm.
I've put out on Slack, and I was crushed for it, must-win games for Kingsbury this year.
Must-win,
I might just lose power. That was close.
I think our must wins.
Oh, let me give you my list real quick.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Because I was crushed in Slack for this.
I feel you.
Most of this, I got interrupted by a lightning strike. but the majority of these predictions or must wins are based off of trends, like streaks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So not for his, like, necessarily job security. I just think for Kingsbury, they're like, okay, we've got
to
win these games. Tell me where I'm wrong. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Baylor.
Yes,
got to be Baylor because it's been a long time since we've beaten Baylor.
Definitely.
Oklahoma State. We haven't beaten them since 2008. We haven't beaten them in Stillwater in forever.
Since I was a sophomore.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. See, Mickey Petridge Farm remembers.
Petridge freaking Farm. Good Lord.
You catch it for 100 yards.
yes.
So Oklahoma State.
I could see that. Yeah, that would be a great win considering they try to think they can pull out the gun and their gun's like a Xerox copy.
Yeah. Oklahoma at home.
That would be a nice win because of BM, yeah. Because
you don't want him to have bragging rights and in his post-game interview talk about how other people have cheated him.
Correct.
Texas at home because you got to build.
We got to wear them out, especially considering what Coach Strong had to say about us in the Big 12 saying he was going to steamroll everyone.
Yes.
I think there's a different story coming to him. He doesn't understand it.
You're fine.
I might have to edit that out just for
you. Probably need to edit that out
just for being nice.
Oh my god, I'm sorry. Yeah, that was probably really rude. He's probably a really nice guy.
I actually really like Charlie Strong just as a coach.
Oh yeah, his coach mentality is great.
Yeah, he had a Brett Bielema moment, I think, for Cliff Kingsbury. So
when he said that, oh, we're gonna steamroll the Big 12 and everything. Yeah, and so
Kingsbury goes, "It's not April Fool's yet, is it?"
Yeah, I thought that was hilarious. That's why I was like, "That's our freaking coach. You know that your coach is nowhere near as great as ours."
And he just was like, "Yeah, okay, go ahead and say that."
I loved it. That got me hype. But what's up? Keep on your list.
Those are my four. Those are my main four. I think I had one more, but I can't remember it. Those are my main four. What do you think about that? What are your must wins? Like, hey, we've got to win this game.
I have
other than
definitely,
all of them.
Well, I mean, I completely relate with all those. The only one that I could switch in and out with would be the Oklahoma State to with TCU.
Yeah.
TCU is just, hey, we need to run Texas. And, I mean, we lost to Baylor and we lost to TCU. And TCU was a close game. So, I mean, if we just got to beat them out. And those are two big wins that I think we should do just to prove a point that in Texas, this is the best school in Texas. I mean, yeah, you got Texas State and Texas and all that. In Texas, we're going to beat them too. So
here's my thing with TCU. Yeah. They only remember the 82-point game.
Yes.
And that was against a, let's just be honest, a bad defense and in the second half, mostly backups. They don't remember getting lit up on what was a good TCU defense and having 70 hung on them.
Exactly.
In Lubbock in 04. That
was 4.
04. Yeah. They don't remember that.
They're trying to forget
it. Yeah, I remember it. It was pretty cool. We hung 70 on Nebraska that same year.
Yes, we did. Nebraska, that was my freshman year.
Oh.
Leach was
rolling. Wait.
That was with Sonny Cumbie.
Yep.
Hey, Mickey.
Yes.
I have a question. Do you know the name Colby Meek?
No.
Okay, because he played at the same time in them in college football as you did. He went to UTEP, so I didn't know if the name would ring a bell, but he's our O-line coach at the high school. So I was just like, hey, he might know my coach. But, I mean, he was an O-lineman at UTEP, so if he did, I was like, oh, that would have been cool, but I didn't really expect you to.
We almost played UTEP, but it was the same week of 9/11.
So they
canceled all the games, you know, and it was it happened on Tuesday, 9/11, and we were supposed to play UTEP on Thursday. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we didn't get to play UTEP.
Tech didn't play UTEP, I think, until 06.
Yeah, I think that's right.
After that.
Yeah,
something like that. Took a while to get them back on the schedule.
Oh, dang. Yeah, I didn't know. It just came into mind. I was like, hey, he might know him because they played in the same time. And Coach Meek knows a lot of people. So, I mean, I didn't know if y'all's paths crossed at any time, but just knowing each other or meeting each other after a game. But, back on with what we were talking about with TCU, about them trying to forget those games and act like they're the hot shots. I mean, yeah, they had one great game like that, sure, but they don't want to remember the fact that we were hanging on them big time this past season. They tried to play it off after the game. They acted like it wasn't close or something like that. So we really just need to shut them up.
They don't realize that 100% Patrick Mahomes, and we win that by double digits.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, God.
See, all this is edited because I don't want it to be like, oh, they're just a bunch of sore losers or anything like that. We're actually very honorable people. We're just letting loose.
We're great people. We're just having fun.
This is going to be like a 20-minute pod.
We're letting Houston just go.
All right, so wait, Mickey, I got a question then for you. Who was your enemy? Who did you hate the most when you played? Who was the guy that you were just like, God, I want to just show him up. I want to make him look stupid or something. Like, who was that guy?
We didn't really have a whole lot of those type of guys. I mean, we hated more like teams.
Mm-hmm. I feel you.
Yeah, like A&M and Texas, we hated both of those.
I hate A&M.
What he really means is that he really wanted to show up Roy Williams at Oklahoma quite a bit.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yes, that's.
And you go on YouTube and watch Rory Williams highlights and.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting. But you know it is. Yeah, I just you caught the ball and you didn't see the guy. I can't help it. You get blown up. But no, we hated teams more than we hated anybody. Really, there are some guys out there that I hated at that time. But you know, I got to know them later on. After playing, and they're actually cool dudes. There was a guy at I'll never forget at New Mexico. And this guy talked noise the whole game. And I'm like, dude, after the third touchdown I scored on, I'm like, dude, I've scored three touchdowns on you. Why are you keep on that?
It's like, boy, stop running your mouth.
And he said, none of them were me. And then we get on film the next day, and yes, it was him. And it's just too bad that, you know, we didn't have Twitter or something like that. And
I know, right?
You could really get onto it. So, no, we didn't really – I mean, there are guys that you've heard of, and they had like this air about them that you couldn't stand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You really didn't know them personally. So,
Was there anybody on – your team in practice that you had a bragging rights thing with?
That's good.
I
do have one, but I can't say the name. But I remember Anton.
I can edit it out.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll edit it out.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's I didn't really most of the guys I always went up against, they were pretty good friends of mine. the best thing that we had was camaraderie. We had a lot of good camaraderie, and I think that's a big
yeah, that's what I noticed when I came to Tech. And I say that like I was on the team. No, I was like watching the game and watching y'all do your thing. Is just there seemed to be such a cohesiveness about it. Like there's that culture that was in place already, that it was y'all against the world. Y'all came and got snubbed by some other university and Leach was like, hey, come and shove it up their butt and just whatever. Y'all had that mentality. And
yeah, that's what we've had. That's what Texas Tech really has had
until 2010.
3 years and till the last. But it is true. We're the school out there where nobody wants to go to. So they say. But once you get out there, it's a great place. We all know it. Houston, you're gonna love it. You're gonna love Lubbock. You're gonna love the people there. There's no more better people than Lubbock, Texas people.
Yes, sir.
And it's a fun place. You go out there, have fun, go out there, work.
Yeah.
And that's what we had. We had that chip on our shoulder and just had guys out there that wanted to play and wanted to play hard. And, you might have not – we were all talented, Like, I got a stint in the NFL and now you had your guys that were studs. I mean, they were top guys. But then right after that, everybody's about the same. And that's kind of how it is, throughout college. It's just who works harder.
You got to set yourself apart. I mean, if you're not – this is what I've learned and what I know I plan on doing. It's just a matter of, if you're not spending an extra 15, 30 minutes working on – for, like, my sake, like, working on your hands after practice, like, on the dummy or getting a couple extra sprints in after lift or something like that or after conditioning or – you're not putting the right type of fuel in your body or something like that. It's just a matter of you got to have a specific way to set yourself apart from everyone else. So if you want to be average, then just keep doing what you're doing. But you got to do – but if you want to be good and you want to be one of those studs like you're saying, you got to be setting yourself apart in a whole new way. Because, some people have that talent, but they can easily be surpassed if you work harder to get that place than them. It's just a matter of – handling it better than they would and knowing that guy's not putting as much work as you.
That's 100% truth there. And I'm glad somebody at your age understands that because a lot of kids come into college and they think they worked hard and they don't realize what is about to happen to them. Mm-mm. High school, you don't work hard in high school. It's
no.
When you go to college, it's this is your job basically now. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, there are times you're like, I don't want to do this today.
No, and plus the thing is, like, those coaches are putting their salary and their family and their livelihood on an 18 to 23 year old kid saying, go out there and ball, or I'm losing my job, or I have to go somewhere else. So it's a matter of just like, you gotta do what you're set to do. Like, you're pretty much on a contract to and being employed by that university. So if you let someone down, you're letting the university down, you're letting yourself down, and you're letting those coaches down. So
yeah, don't get a little well, I guess all the guys that you were recruited by are all gone, so it's going to be – you're getting to know the guys, but when you first get recruited, everybody's like – all the coaches, you know, love you, talk to
they're
you.
They're salesmen.
And then when you get there, you're like, oh, hey, coach, how's it going?
Honeymoon's over.
They say, hey, hey, it's not, all this bull, blah, blah, blah stuff is over, mm-hmm. buddy.
Exactly. That's the thing. Like, that's what kids need to learn, like – well, I mean, anyone that's watching this podcast that's a part of a lower class, I mean, or anyone's parents, like, technically, I mean, like, if your kid, I mean, necessarily is he's getting recruited and he's being all hyped up, like, oh, the coaches are like, you're so great, and we think you're such an athlete, like, great athlete, come to our school, and all this stuff like that. Every coach is a salesman. Like, if you haven't noticed, they are selling that university, and plus they're saying to you that – honestly, like, you look at any of the guys, I mean, I'm going to throw a couple examples, but I mean, I was recruited to Arkansas. Their running back coach, they got rid of one of their running back coaches, and then they brought in the new one, Coach Singleton. Coach Singleton recruits us, or I was already committed to Tech. He was just talking to me. He was all, hey, man, is there any way I can get you a switch? I said, no, there's not a snowball's chance in hell. I'm sorry. But and then he – after signing day, it was funny. I just went through my feed to, like, go and follow coaches that I didn't, like, need to follow. And I see his profile. I click on it. He's the running back coach for the Indianapolis Colts. So these guys, they're salesmen. But if they're a great coach, they're going to be somewhere else. But if they're a bad coach, they're going to go down lower and vice versa. Like, it's sometimes rare to see a coach – stay where he wants to be, unless he's the head coach or that's where he wants to be, and or they have a great record and camaraderie. But these coaches, they'll bounce around. And
yeah, that's a more of a new thing than it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, than it was
back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, it's I really left is if they got a better job. Mm-hmm.
Like, well, and it was like a much better job.
Yeah. Think like an offensive coordinator job.
Yeah,
the coordinator or a head coach position.
Upwardly, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. and that's just the way that even head coaches just switch around mm-hmm. no matter what the sport. but it's weird. You're never going to have someone there like a Bobby Bowden. I mean, that's why, like, Bob Stoops, say what you want about Oklahoma, I actually – like having that type of mm-hmm. coach up there at Oklahoma, that it's kind of stable. He's been there
for exactly
16 years, 17 years, mm-hmm. and that's unheard of, you know. And now you have Oklahoma, they see all these other coaches switching around and doing this and that, and the fans are actually like, we need to fire Bob Stoops. We need somebody in here because he hasn't gotten us to the big game. I was like, have you looked at Texas? Have you looked at Texas Tech? When you lose that coach, it isn't just, oh, we're just going to hop on over and everything's going to continue as usual.
Exactly.
There is a down period. And are you ready for a down period?
They don't remember not the 90s of Oklahoma.
No. With Howard Schnellenberger and John Blake and you know, all that. It's like, are you comfortable with being in Big 12 contention or college football playoff contention every year
for
and
real?
Not making it? Or are you ready to go to, like, Texas and be like 5-7 for the next 3 or 4 years?
Exactly.
And no guarantee that you're ever going to get back. So it's like, you know what? You just need to, you know, just be happy with what you got. And just
trust in the system.
Yeah. Because I think a lot of people that were calling for Mike Leach's head, including those boosters, who mm-hmm. sat there and said, Mike Leach is holding us back. And they were like, mm-hmm. we were like, yeah, right. And then they turn around and see us go with Tubbs, and you're just sitting there going, yeah, this worked out.
Exactly. It's just a matter of, like, you gotta let the course take action, or whatever the phrase is. It's just, you gotta let everything play out and say, hey, sometimes you're gonna have to take back a little bit and understand that it may not always be the greatest first season, because you can't expect a coach to come in and automatically just do amazing with a group of guys he's never been with, the group of guys that he didn't recruit. He has to bring in a whole new coaching staff that's a lot of guys that have never coached with each other. So you got to let them get acclimated and understand the system that's being implemented, and then just work from there. And it'll all change in the future. It's just, people are very, very anxious and don't understand that things take time to develop. And if you want something great, it's going to take some time.
Yeah. So they always wanted it yesterday.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, that's true.
I mean, some people are even starting to, we're getting kind of anxious with Kingsbury last year. And it's just like,
nobody understands that what we went through with Tubbs.
And, yeah, I was like, I don't think you realized where the program was. I mean, it looked all sunshine and roses.
Well, freshman and sophomore.
It was not. It was not good.
Exactly.
And all the seniors that were there, if you want to really know something, all the seniors, the Dartuan Bush, we've talked about it forever. Dartuan Bush and the Kerry Hiders and everybody that made the defense respectable and helped that were all Leach recruits.
Mm-hmm.
That were there was his last recruiting class. So it's like, yeah. I think y'all, and it's kind of cool. I mean, you have that history with coaches, the Bobby Bowers and the Joe Paternos and the, you know, now Bob Stoops, Mack Brown. You know, I just love that they were there and they were stable at that university. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, they may look around for contract leverage or whatever, but when you're kind of God on campus, for lack of a better phrase, it's like, where would you go? It's like,
exactly.
Who was the guy that, I guess it was Bielma, who he was like really successful at Wisconsin.
Yes.
And then he just like, I need a new challenge. I'm going to go to Arkansas or whatever he said. And now he hasn't done anything at Arkansas.
Exactly.
Like, are you insane? Be happy with what you got.
Mm-hmm. Exactly,
and do the best you can at that university.
Mm-hmm.
Until they fire you
really know it's time to go somewhere else, not just impulse to be like, oh, I'm gonna be another coach. I'm gonna be a great coach here or something like that. You know.
Well, then that's like, his you can't just bounce around. Why not try to make be immortal at that university?
Exactly.
Why not? Like, you know, that's what friend or. TCU coach. He doesn't want to go anywhere because he knows he's got it made where he's
at. Exactly. Peterson will go down in history as the greatest TCU coach ever. And after he decides to walk away, I guarantee you that will be his last coaching job. When he decides to walk away, every other coach is going to have to live in his shadow. I mean, it's not even close because he's been there for so long and done so many good things for that university.
Just like Charlie Strong is having to face with Mack Brown.
Yeah, he's living in, you know, and to a certain extent, Tuberville and Leach's shadow and Dykes and you know, those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I don't know.
People have
gone off on a tangent here.
No, like, I can see that. And, like, same thing with, like, Jimbo at Florida State. I used to be a – whenever I was younger, I was actually born in Florida. I lived there for about 8-9 years. But my dad was a huge Florida State fan, everything like that. So we knew everything about Florida State. And Bobby was a freaking stud. But when Jimbo came in, everyone was all like, oh, how's he going to fare? And they were all like trying to compare him to Bobby. But I'm like, you can't do that yet. You got to let them take their course of action and say, this is how it's going to be. This is the rebuilding period. This is how it's going to work. Let them do their thing. You can't immediately expect them to be great, because it's like throwing a kid that's high school into the NFL. He's got to go through college first to be a good athlete and understand the comparison in games and have the respect for the games. So you can't just throw a guy out there as a coach and behind a great coach and expect him to do amazing. Like, it's not – it's pretty much unheard of.
I mean, and the ones you do hear of are – extremely rare. There's like one And as soon as it happens, it's like everybody expects your coach to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or
exactly.
Like when Johnny Manziel wins the Heisman as a freshman, every freshman should win the Heisman now.
For real.
Every freshman, you know, forget red shirts. I mean, you want mm-hmm. the mentality coming in that you're not going to red shirt. But it used to be a foregone conclusion. Now it's like, no, screw that. Mm-hmm. And if I get redshirted, I'm transferring.
Yeah. So, and or if I don't get enough playing time, someone transferred from a certain school to another school. They're all like, I don't have enough playing time, or I don't feel like I'm being treated fairly because this is how the coach talked to me when I was being recruited. Again, dude, they're salesmen. Did you not understand that?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Kids nowadays don't understand that you got to just stick with the program. And, I mean, sometimes it's going to have its ups and downs, and you may not feel like you're being completely and totally treated like another one, but you got to work to be treated how you want the coaches to view you and treat you on the field and have you play and everything like that. If you're just coming in there thinking you're a hotshot and not thinking you have to work and do all this other stuff, be ready to be treated like you're nobody because you're not putting in the work that other guys are putting in, and you're not doing anything to really contribute to the team. And that's why you're not getting playing time, not because that you showed up and you're a stud, you'd automatically deserve the playing time. No, you have to put the work in and prove yourself to deserve that playing time. So
I think that's why, you know, Tech fans love Tech so much, because it's about the university. It's more than mm-hmm. the players.
Mm-hmm. It's a bigger picture.
It's a culture thing. It's just like we're together. We're a part of this university.
It's a big brotherhood.
Yeah, and when we see our, you know, former Tech players transfer, we wish them the best, whether it's Davis Webb or Michael Brewer or whoever. But, you know, when you start talking trash after you leave about Tech, that's when mm-hmm. it becomes an issue.
I went to high school with Davis. He was at Keller, then he went to Prosper. But, I mean, he kind of, like, disowned Keller. He acted like he wasn't from Keller, because, like, anywhere he goes, like, his locker tag at Tech, it didn't say Keller on it, it said Prosper, because that was his last school. And hit me.
From all the times we've talked to you, or twice now, you've mm-hmm. been the utmost team player. Mm-hmm. you want what's best for the team.
Yes,
but I know in the back of your mind, you've got some personal goals this year. Mm-hmm. What are they?
Yes. My biggest thing is, I mean, we all know Braden Fajoco. Me and Braden are real tight. I want to be able to go out there. I mean, I want what's best for the team, but again, I want to be able to go out there. I want to be able to play 13 games as a freshman and get second team Big 12 or second team All-American or something like that. And he was a freshman. I want to be able to go out there and do that. I want to make some big plays. I want to have an iconic moment like him whenever he got the pick in West Virginia. That was a big deal. So I want to go out there. I want to have some big moments like he did and everything like that. So, I mean, I want to be able to have those feelings.
No offense to Fajoco, because I mm-hmm. love Fajoco.
Yeah.
But your iconic moment better not be an interception.
Oh, no. My iconic moment. Dude, don't worry. You got to get the picture of me over BM with the Muhammad Ali flag. What's up, man?
I want that picture, and I'm going to blow it up, and it's going to be on my son's wall.
I will make sure that happens, man.
You know, it's not just me now. We're bringing my kids into it.
Oh, my gosh. I have to live up.
See this for the rest of his life in his room as he grows up, and I want that picture.
Okay. We'll let you know where we're all sitting so you know what part of the field to do it on.
I'm just going
to
run out into the field and take a picture.
I don't think I'll jump over onto the field and start – trying to dance like he dances or something.
I'll run into the stands with you guys after I do it. I'm like, hey, guys, that was an insane play. I said, there it is. That's the moment.
What all the defensive guys used to do to, like, the freshman quarterbacks when you were doing scout team, if you threw a pick, they would run up to you and throw the football at your feet.
Oh, gosh.
So that's what you need to do.
Now, sometimes that's how it'd be in high school. Like, whenever our coach, like, our quarterback was, like, doing something stupid in practice, and, well, of course, we're not supposed to hit the quarterback, you'll hear our coach yell, hit him! Hit the quarterback! I don't care! And then you'll see our coach running after our quarterback, trying to tackle him, too, throwing his hat and everything at him, and it's hilarious. Man. So, it's just like, gosh, they're putting so much on it. But it's fun to be able to do that, though. I mean, you have fun with it. And, I mean, it'd be cool to have an interception, but that's not going to be my iconic moment. I want that picture. But other goals. I mean, really just to pretty much come into Tech and be able to prove what I've talked up. And, I mean, just let everyone know that Tech's a new defense. It's something not to mess with, and we're going to be a program that no one will want to play, and people will be backing down from playing us, excuse me, like A&M. But, yeah, it's just a matter of, like, hey, come at us. We're ready for you. We don't care who you are, what your name is, what colors you are, what your helmet looks like. We just want to play ball, and we just want to show you that we're not nothing to mess with.
There you go.
Love it.
Good stuff. Mm-hmm.
Okay, does anybody have any other questions for Houston before we let him go? Because I think he has school tomorrow.
I mean, it doesn't really. I mean, I'll be fine.
He's like, I'm about to go work out, so
I don't know. I'm about to go get a lift in real quick, man. No, I got
to chase a tornado down.
Yeah.
I know, right? Where is that freaking thing? I'm about to leave the house. But no, yeah, I mean, I got workout tomorrow morning. Me and my buddy, our center on our football team, I took him with me to one of the Tech games this year. We were trying to get him. This is back when Coach Curtis and Coach Smith were there. We were like, Coach, if we slim him down a little bit, can he be a fullback? Because he's our center, and he's like 5'10", and he's like 275. So he's a bowling ball, but I love him to death. So we're like, can he please be our fullback? Even though we don't run a fullback offense, can we please have him? But I've been getting him to work out with me in the mornings and do all the Tech stuff and come with me after class and everything like that. So it's been fun, but I might as well go get a lift in right now while I can, since I'm amped up.
That's right. Well, thank you very much for jumping on, Houston. All the best this upcoming season, since we probably won't get to talk to you until next year, which we're going to invite you back on.
Well, thank you guys for having me, man. It's been
welcome
awesome.
Welcome to the new fraternity, buddy. Welcome to the fraternity.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I appreciate it greatly.
We got past and future with us. I will say one thing, Houston, before I let you go. I know you're going to be on Media Blackout, but I'm going to send you Twitter. I'm going to send you a tweet of where I'm going to be sitting on October 22nd or 24th or whenever it is against Oklahoma. And when you have your iconic moment standing in the BM, I want you to point to my section.
I will. Don't worry.
I'm going to call it.
Hey, y'all got to make sure. My birthday's on the game that we play K-State, so I'm excited about that. I'm like, hey,
I'll make something special for you.
Yes,
special for you. I'll make you an edit. Don't worry.
Awesome.
We'll write "Happy Birthday, Houston" on a tortilla and throw it to you.
Yes, I will seriously find that tortilla. Like, Coach Kingsbury will see me like at the end of the game, like ruffling through tortillas.
Oh, goodness.
Like, what's going on?
Middle of the game, he just takes off on the other side of the field and looks like, what
I get,
the heck
like,
is he doing?
12 false starts or offsides or whatever.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, gosh, that would be hilarious. But no, guys, it's been awesome. Thank you so much for having me on. Having fun like this and since from signing day to today. So it's been great. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, thanks again. And
talk to you in 4 years.
Well, we'll see you in 4 years. We'll talk to you next year.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
As soon as Kingsbury says it's okay.
Yes, sir. Definitely.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Houston.
Later.
Thanks, Houston.